We are in the middle of a sermon series. You don't have to worry that you will kind of be left in the middle of something. We kind of prepare in such a way that each sermon can definitely stand on its own. And at the moment, we are talking about the very important fact that you are purposely made by God in a very specific way. That's the essence of what we are busy with at the moment. And that is the main question of life. Mostly when I sit with people, and I sometimes joke about it, I don't always get all the highlights, all the good news. No one invites me for coffee just to say, it's going so amazing with me, thank you, and then they leave again. That doesn't happen. Normally people come to me with the bad news, I get to hear it, and I enjoy it as well because I love people. But a lot of the time it's got to do with this. I'm not sure why this happened. I'm not sure why that happened. Or I'm not sure why this situation is in my life at the moment. It does not make sense to me. Why will something like this happen to me? Why am I here in any case? No one likes me. No one cares about me. It's better if I'm not here. Those, maybe not the exact words, but that's often the heart that's beating behind conversations that I hear every week. And it's around this question of identity. Who am I? What am I supposed to do here? Where am I going? Now, we're busy with part 3 this evening, and you can get part 1, 2. No, this is actually part 4. I made a mistake there. I'm sorry, guys. That should be part 4. You can get the 3 previous ones on the internet. If you want some information, just ask the Connect table. If you want to download and put the puzzle further together for yourself. But now, what we're doing at the moment is we're actually talking through the different gifts that the Bible speaks about. We're taking every single gift, and basically you can group them into 3 pairs of gifts. All right? We can just go to that next slide. If you want to make a note, if you've got your notebook here, if you don't have your notebook here, that's going to be very hard to remember everything, but try your best. There's the 3 sets of gifts that Scripture talks about. All right? There's a few other places where they hint at gifts, but mostly then it's a repetition of these, and you can group them in this way. The gifts of the Father, which we spoke on last week. These are gifts that it comes with your making. Jy weet, soos dis die onderdele van die kar, okay? Jy kom so uit. Romans 12. You are a sensitive person. It's not nothing wrong with it. It's not better than someone else. It's not worse. It's just who you are. All right, you may be very emotional. Okay, if you see a dead puppy somewhere, you start to cry. It's just how it works. It's nothing wrong with you. You made that way. And so I'm not going to go into that, but that's the Romans 12 gifts. Some people are born leaders. Have you noticed that? Young kids, they get up, they stand up, and everyone, all the boys just follows them around. If they go down the glijplank, the rest goes down as well. If they say no, they're going to eat now, everyone eats. It's a gift. All right? At the moment, this week, we're going to be focused on number 2, which is the gifts of the Spirit. All right? Well, let's quickly go to slide number 4, if you will, please, Lauren. There's the gifts of the Father, which you will find in Romans 12. Okay? These are things that generally gets born into your life, and we spoke on them last week. Now, each one of these things, even though it comes as a part of you, it will never get developed into a godly character unless this ends up in God's hands. Does that make sense? All right. So we use the example of a mercy person. Now the mercy person gets motivated, or they really come alive when help is needed. The Good Samaritan, that story speaks on the gift of mercy. The mercy people will stop when there's a need, and they love to. But when God don't get this gift, it can kill that person. I use the example. Those often are the girls who get most abused by men, the mercy ones. Because when there's no maturity to join them where they're at, then they make bad decisions. They're drawn to the wrong people as well. So that's just a sneak peek from last week. Everyone with me? This week, we're going to be focusing on the gifts of the Spirit. And if you are visiting us, it's quite academically. It's just what we are busy with at the moment, all right? So just hang around. We try and do a full diet, so we get to the veggies and the steak. I don't know what this is. This is nice. This is like the dessert. Okay, so at the moment, we're doing dessert. We don't do dessert every week. We've got different types of sermons. Sometimes we preach through the Bible. We try and cover all the important things in 1 year if we can. At the moment, we're talking on the gifts. Well, I think about 2.5 years ago, we had a sermon series like this. And it's time for us to go through it again. All right, just one more thing on the gifts before we just head into this straight on is, why three sets of gifts? It's kind of weird. Firstly, we need to understand you're not going to understand everything about God. You don't even understand everything about yourself, all right? So you're not born with the capacity to understand everything. But I like to think of these gifts as three-dimensional gifts. Different gifts work at different places or different areas of your life. For example, I'm a husband at home and a father, and there's a leadership call on me. The day I got married, something happened in my heart. I got anointed to be a husband for my wife, and there's a leader. But I'm also a leader for people at church. I'm also a leader in other areas of my life. And each time, it sometimes needs of me to be different. It requires of me to be different. And the same with this. So you are made in a certain way. Now we're busy with the gifts of the Spirit. Not so much about you there. It's not how you are made. It's what the Spirit wants to do through you. And then the last one where we'll finish next week is leadership gifts. God gives. Okay. Does that make sense for now? Let me just pray for the word before I start. Father, I just want to thank you that your word is so rich. There's so much amazing things, Lord. And as we sit here tonight, we just humble ourselves under your word. We're not here, Lord, to change your word and interpret it into our world so that we look at it through our eyes. No, we declare from the beginning, we are blind. But as we discover your word, may we see it as it is. Amen? All right, let's do this. All right, I'm going to give you 10 things about the spiritual gifts. It's going to be very quickly before we get into the gifts itself. 10 things that you need to understand. I'd like to call this setting the stage for the gifts, because all these scriptures that I'm going to mention now is just before, during, or after this conversation that Paul has with the church around the gifts. What I also need you to understand is he's talking to Gentiles at that moment. Now, Gentiles is nie Jode nie. Okay, this, I think, allemaal van ons. Right, so typically these people never knew about God. They didn't even have the Old Testament. They didn't knew a Messiah was coming. Some of the Jews that saw Christ died and turned to him didn't even want these people to know God, because in the past, Israel was God's people. When Christ came, the gospel were given to everyone, all the nations, every tribe and tongue. And at this moment, Paul is dealing with a demogospel. This is not people with a Jewish heritage. They did not have the Old Testament, nothing. They had no temple worship in the past. And what has happened is the Holy Spirit came on them and amazing things were happening in their midst. But they had no clue how to handle it. It's almost like giving very, very advanced tools to a bunch of 13 years old and say, have fun. All right? And this is exactly what's going on here. So Paul is coming in and he wants to help them engage with this new thing that's happening, the Holy Spirit working. They need to engage in such a way that it makes sense spiritually and that God gets glory for it. That's the setting where we're busy with. Number one, Scripture says you must be informed about these things. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. If someone, I'm just being honest, as jou ouer broer of jou pa eendag vir jou gesê het, bly weg, I'm sorry, there's a problem there. Scripture says you must understand. Right? You must understand for yourself. Alright? Number two, one Spirit works all the gifts. Alright? It's the same Holy Spirit and it speaks of unity. There's all varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. Why is this important? Because of this human thing in us to want to compare with one another. Who's better? who's got what gift. And Paul just equals the playing field. It says, doesn't matter who does what. What is important is that you remember it is the same Spirit. So when your friend, when something amazing is happening through them, you need to be glad because it's the same Spirit through which you worship that God is working with him. Well, it's one Spirit. Number three, each is given a manifestation. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. What that means is for every believer, there is this possibility to ask God that the gifts happen through them. Manifestation is something that you see. It's not a thought. All right? Manifestasie is iets wat sigbaar is. It's not a feeling. It's not a faith in your heart. It's something that is visible. All right? So these gifts, they have effects that changes lives, what Scripture says. And it says each one is given. What's also important there is there's only nine of these gifts, but there's how many people in the world? So what's also important is to know that you share the gifts of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Very important. Number four, these gifts are given for the common good, which means when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, this is where you as an individual step back and God wants to do something that it's not about you right now. It's not about me. It's about us. All right? That's the purpose of the gift, is so that the church in here and out there may be motivated and grown and supported. Amen? Number five, he gives as he please. That's what the Scripture says. It's all around that part of the Scripture. You can read it for yourself. But as it is, God arranges in the body each one of them as he chose. What's very important on this is that you make a peace with how God wants to use you. This is a very mature thing to put on the table. But we need to talk about this. Not only are you made in a way that pleases him, but the Spirit wants to use you in a way that pleases the Father, not in a way that feels comfortable or nice to you. Now, you can't say that when it comes to the Spirit. Then you are not mature enough to deal with this. This is about laying down your life. In Acts, I think it's chapter 5, guys got a beating and they said they were happy that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. This is a mindset we are working with here. There's no comfort zone here. This is, Lord, what do you want? I don't know how. Use me in my comfort zone, out of my comfort zone. Something I've seen before, something I've never seen before. What is the common good? What is the goal of the common good? If by any means you want to use me, here I am. That's the heart of when we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. Does that make sense, everyone? You'll pick up when it comes to these things, it's totally in contrast with the world, which makes you the center of stuff. It's not about us. It comes to Christ and the gospel, it's about dying for someone else. Amen? Number six, desire and pursue the gifts. That's what Scripture says. It says, pursue it. Hardloop achter het aan. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We'll get to that later. Now, when you talk about this, you'll get people that always want to get a negative answer, and they'll say something like, "Nee, maar dit gaan nie oor die gifts, dit gaan oor Jesus." Duh. Okay? We know it. That's why Paul spends 3-4 chapters on these things. Laying the foundation, talking about it, it's about the common good, it's not about you. He gives as he pleases. Then he says, now that you are willing to die, now that you are willing to do anything, pursue the gifts. Okay? Talking to a mature audience, and I'm talking to a mature audience tonight. Desire and pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Be mature in your thinking. That's what it says. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Alright? One way of being immature, I'm just talking because you'll hear these things. One way about being immature is that people discard something when it gets misused. That's not maturity. Maturity is recognizing misuse and then discovering the godly purpose for it and redeeming it. All right? Why am I saying this? The gift of the Spirit gets abused around the world and misused. This is for real. People get healed and stuff happens, and then there's every now and then a person that wants to make money out of it or get a third wife because of his powers and his whatever. And that's wrong. But just because people misuse it doesn't mean we should discard it. It means we should fight for the right use of the gifts. Sex? Right? Money? Same thing. Same thing. It can be misused, and it does in terrible ways. Yet God redeems those things through His sons and daughters to shine a light in this world. Does that make sense? And the same with the gifts of the Spirit. Let's be awake. Let's be mature. Let's realize it can be misused. Let's be very sure that we honor God in the way we go about this. Amen. Accountability is not optional. It says the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What it means is no one should be allowed to practice these things when there's no one that can speak into their lives and correct them. And that's why often you will find this little house somewhere where one guy is the hero and he will not let anyone else with any spiritual maturity come near to that house because he does not want to be called. And he tells those people and he sells to them whatever he wants to, and they will believe it. It's misused. Paul says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And so when you ask these people, so who do you submit to? Who are you accountable to? What will they say? Jesus, liar. All right. If you commit to Christ, you commit to his body. All right. Therefore, every word that I speak should be able to be heard and contested by someone else, which is my regional leader, so that I don't lead you guys in a way I should not. And so with every person that moves in the gifts, very important that they are humbly submitted within a group of believers to help them. It's simple, right? Does it make sense? Yes. We even know it in the world, man. When there's a bank reckoning somewhere with a committee, two or three people must go and draw the money. It's accountability. Right? Same is true for the kingdom. It starts here. Number 9. The whole chapter 13, which is in the middle of the two chapters that speaks on the gifts. Love is the reason and also the motivation for engaging in the gifts. Why? Because it's not about you. You seek to help, to uplift, to build up someone else. So it can only be motivated by love. When love is not the motivation, we get these weird things I've just mentioned. All right? Very important. Guys, you'll realize this is actually supposed to be like 4 sermons, but I'm going fast. And then number 10, the believer must be spirit-filled. Jesus did not do one miracle through the Holy Spirit before he was filled with the Spirit. When he was baptized in water, a dove came down, Spirit came down, sat on him. And after that, his miracles and his ministry started when it comes to that. And the same for the disciples. They waited on the Holy Spirit to come down, except for once when Jesus commissioned them to go as disciples and cast out demons. At this place, when the 120 was waiting, Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, they were filled with the Spirit, and miracles started to happen, and the church grew like crazy. Okay, so what this means is, the believer that knows Christ should invite the Holy Spirit into their heart. It's easy as that. Holy Spirit, also use me. Take all of me. You may use me. I invite you. Amen? Right. That's just to give you an idea, something to chew on. And then you can go and read that on your own. Are you ready for this? We're going to go through the 9 gifts. I'm going to try and be fast. Let's just read through it. It's a short passage. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. This is where you find the list of the gifts. But you should start at verse 1. You should read straight through up to the end of chapter 14 if you want the full picture. All right? Here we go. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. This is the first gift. And to another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You see how he repeats, by the same Spirit. Guys, we're in this together. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All right. Now, this is something every now and then someone wants to know about. So we're quickly just going to try our best to walk through this. And if it starts more conversations, I'm very happy with that. You can talk to your small group leaders. The next slide. What you see there, 1, 2, and 3, is what they refer to as the oral gifts. It's gifts of speaking. Right? It's where the Holy Spirit works in you and guide you to speak in one way or the other because he wants to do something there. Now, the first thing we're quickly going to look at is this thing, tongues, of tala. Everyone always wants to hear about it. I'm going to try and make it as clear as possible. Is that okay? Who somewhere in their life at one stage had a question about this? I'd say almost everyone, right? So let's see what I can do in just 5 minutes. Very important. It's the only one where they say, I think it's the only one, gifts. They're talking in the plural, just on the next slide. He says, the one can prophesy, the one the ability to distinguish between spirits, and then it says, to another various kinds of tongues. Can you see that? And to another interpretation. Now, Paul clearly explains in this section mostly, or clearly in broad terms, there's two types of manifestations of the gift of tongues. Okay, you can put them in two categories, and there's subcategories. But what's important is that you understand there is two categories, all right? Number one is tongues addressed publicly, okay? Now, this was very important that he addressed this because those Corinthian church came together and they all were speaking in tongues the whole time. There was a too big of an emphasis on it. There was a misuse of the gift. And that's one of the reasons Paul jumped in and tried to help them. All right. And so in this example, he's talking about when you should address the church as a whole in a tongue. He says, for to one is given through the Spirit an utterance of wisdom, and to another, an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Then he says, now brothers, verse 6, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge of the prophecy or teaching? Can you see that? What does it help I speak in a way here in tongues, but there's no way you understand? Does that make sense? All right. It's not helpful. That's what it says. So he's definitely talking about a situation where it is addressed to people, but then there's something lacking. There's no guidance or there's no interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13. Check this out. For therefore the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. Why? So that the others may understand. Or maybe there's someone else that's seeking the gift of interpretation or moving in it. But specifically, he's saying this so that people may understand. Are you with me? Everyone with me? In this sense, the people must understand, but they can't if there's no one to interpret. It's for the building up of the congregation. It's for the common good. But then, number two, there's these places where he speaks of tongues as a personal prayer, where it should not be interpreted, where it's not for the congregation. It's not for the ears of others. He says, for one who speaks in a tongue, speak not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. The one who speaks in a tongue, here's the purpose of it, builds himself up. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. In this example, what is happening is the person is speaking in tongues, and what is happening? What's the purpose of it? He's building himself up. Who is benefiting of this praying in tongues? In this essence, in this, you are the one that's benefiting here. All right? Not anyone else. Verse 4, he says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Should this be interpreted? No. It's not for other people. It's for the building up of the person that is praying. But in the one sense, in the congregation, he says, I pray that someone will interpret this. You must pray that you may interpret so that everyone may hear. But in this instance, he's saying, you're building yourself up. Purpose fulfilled. He's talking about another manifestation of tongues. Does that make sense? Here's another example. Very important one. Romans 8 verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How does the Spirit help us? For we do not know what to pray for. I don't know if you ever experienced that. So, you know, I'm going to be a bit. But now you've done praying for the cat. You're done praying for the dog. You're done praying for Oma and Opa and everyone. And you're like, and then you stop praying. But what if there's more? What if God wants to lead your prayer? What if there's someone in God's heart and He wants to lead you to pray for that specific person? What if there's a friend that's in trouble and you don't even know about it? But what if God is so almighty that He can remind you of that person randomly? You haven't thought of them or seen them for 2 years and their face jumps up and you know you should pray for them. That's the place of prayer where God wants to invite us to. What when you are afraid? What do you pray? Jesus, asseblief, help me so bikkie, ek weet nie lekker. There's a problem. You have a place of authority. Scripture says you can trample on serpents and scorpions, and by no means will the plan of the enemy harm you. So how do you pray when you are scared? Okay. Scripture says God wants you to grow in your prayer life. And here's one example. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes, goes between you and God. How? With groanings too deep for words. Speaking in tongues. And he who searches the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, capital letter, okay? Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. It's talking about that place where you're not talking to anyone else now, you're not talking to the congregation, no one is praying in tongues over the microphone. It's you and it's God and you're doing business with God. Deep calls on to deep. Spirit connects to Spirit. And what Scripture says is the perfect prayer, unhindered by your mind. Nothing that happened the week can filter into your mind and just make a part of that prayer. It's going straight through. Can you see the two types of tongues for the congregation? Which has happened in our congregation before. A while back, someone said, I feel there's a gift of tongues. And I said, here's the mic. And the person went and spoke in another language over the speakers, and we said, so we're waiting for interpretations, what Scripture says, and someone came. All right? Make sense? The one who speaks in a tongue, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, builds up himself. Now, he's talking here about these Corinthian guys when they come together, and he says, remember, when you're speaking in a tongue, you build up yourself. Which one is he talking about? The one when you pray. So don't do that the whole time when you come to church. Are you with me? Can I ask you a question? Is it good for me to do quiet time as a pastor, to spend time with God? But what if I come to church and just as the worship is finished and I must just start to preach, I say, just welcome everyone, I take my Bible and I start doing quiet time here in front. put my earphones on, begin music, and I start to study the word. Am I in sin? No, I'm just being really weird. Everyone is here. It's time to speak so people can understand. And this is what Paul is saying. Don't do your personal thing when you are together. Preach so that the people may understand. Prophesy. Read the word. Sing together. Put the words up. Amen. In summary, on this thing of tongues, the rest is going to go very fast. So with yourselves, with your tongue, you utter speech that is not intelligible. Okay, it says it's your mind is unfruitful. It goes past your mind. That's why it's hard for some people to get started with this, because they put their mind in their own way. How will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. It's what we just said when we come together. Imagine I stand here and I just talk in tongues for an hour and send you back home. You want to ask for your money back out of the offering bag. Okay, it doesn't make sense. I'm building myself up, but what about you? And then Paul is saying, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind to instruct. Makes perfectly sense. Amen. Now, what I've experienced and what we've seen is the personal gift of tongues gets released on people if they want it. God does it. I haven't met someone that has asked for it and God has withheld it. The gift in terms of a public sense is something that the Spirit works when He wants to, when He pleases. Okay, so you can ask God if you want to be filled with the Spirit and if you want to do amazing things for God, you should desire gifts. And one of these gifts is to pray effectively. And you may do it. There's nothing wrong with it. Amen? All right. That's a summary. So just quickly, there's a little thingy for you on the screen that maybe will help you. Just put the two things in categories. We can go on the next slide, please. Next one, please. There we go. So you get the tongues of a public ministry and the personal prayer. And those are the two things, the rhythms almost we see in Scripture. And the one, you're speaking one more thing. With a public speaking of tongues, you can actually be empowered to speak a language that exists, that you don't know. That's what happens in Acts 2. And it has happened before in the world as well. People went to Africa and they just prayed. They think they're praying. In the meantime, they're preaching to the people. And the people start to cry and they come to Christ. It happens. And on the other side, you get the personal. This is for me. God is busy with me. Amen? Great. Okay, so let's go on. So that was number one and two. Is everyone with me? If you've got any questions, you can chat to me afterwards. Right, the gift of prophecy is awesome. Revelations 19 verse 10 says, we had it on the screen last week, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay. What it means is for people with this gift, or when this gift is working, there's always a realignment happening. You might be doing the right thing, but when the Holy Spirit works in this way, it always discerns our hearts. Okay, so you may be praying, you may be thinking you're having a great time, and God may speak to you very hard and clearly say, there's a problem with your heart. You should forgive that person. It's the gift of prophecy just working in your life. You may go to a friend and say, I sense God wants to do something in your life. It sounds something like this. Hanu, I don't know why, but I just feel this week is important. Let's just pray for this week. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not 100% sure. But let's just pray. And then this week, something amazing or terrible happens, but God comes through for Hanu. The Holy Spirit was just doing preparation work before the time. Does that make sense? What will also happen is, it will sometimes maybe happen in church, and we'll say, is there anyone that wants to share something? Maybe you feel something on your heart. Someone comes to the front and they'll say something like, I don't know why, but I keep on seeing a picture of a rose. And I just want to say to someone that God knows about your pain, He loves you. Then there's someone there, and their dad always used to give them roses, but then dad passed away, something like that. And then this person is unaware, goes back to their seat, and someone's life changed. It's the gift of prophecy. It's God giving information that you don't know of. And it's amazing. And lives change through this. Are you with me? It also, especially these people, when God works in this gift, always helps us with unity. They always sense when people are not together. So they pray for unity. Things like helping people with direction or preparation or separation unto Christ. Everything that's got to do with the heart, they tend to pick it up. Very sensitive people, this. Well, not people. It's a very sensitive gift. Someone will just be overcome with an immense sorrow. But it's going so great with them. It can affect your body. They don't know why. They're just crying. And then God shows them. They're crying because that's how that person is feeling. It's a gift of prophecy. And then they will go over to that person and say, you know what? He loves you so much. Don't be afraid. Can I pray with you? Gifts of prophecy. Amen. Then we get what we call the revelation gifts. This means you are given information by God, all right? The first one is the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge has to do with someone's past, all right? So, you've heard it. Someone will say, someone will preach, and they'll just say, I just feel there's someone here that when you were 9 years old, this and this happened. And it's weird how it works. You just see that number 9. Wah. And then someone comes up afterwards and says, I'm very shy about what happened when I was 9. This is what happened. And since that time, I could not forgive myself. So that person is in chains. And you pray with them and God sets them free. Word of knowledge. Something. It's events that happened in the past. All the revelation gifts and prophecy, they intertwine. Right, so it's sometimes very hard to draw a line. Some people want to just talk about prophecy almost as an umbrella for all the speaking gifts. And you may, if you want to. So in a way, someone may be giving a word of knowledge and someone would say, wow, that person is, they're quite prophetic. Are you with me? They listen. They know what's going on. So don't worry too much about these terms, but for just to get all the information across. It's nice to just put them each in their box. Then you get the discerning of spirits. And this is very weird. I'm glad I don't have this gift. This, well, I might have it in a different way. Discerning of spirits means to understand what's going on spiritually. And sometimes I'm a bit doff when it comes to that. So we'll be going, we're having a braai somewhere. And someone will walk in. Okay, may I throw names around or not? May I, Anu? It's your birthday. It's your birthday, Anu. I'll say someone like Carla. I mean, Carla is quite open spiritually. She leads intercession. And so they will just pick up how down this one person is the whole evening, that there's something wrong. I'm like crying. I'm having a great time. I don't know what's going on. And then one of these people, they really sense this heaviness and it bothers them. They want to pray for that person. They want to help that person. They want to lift them up. But now the problem is that this thing is really overwhelming. Another part of this discerning of spirits is people actually see what's going on in the spiritual realm. It is true. It happens. The devil does reveal himself in this world. Sometimes in very ugly ways, and sometimes he reveals himself as a beautiful man. All right? But these people stand, it's a gift that the Holy Spirit brings so that we may see what's going on. So we had this one girl in Shofar Stellenbosch, she just had goggles on. I mean, she could see everything. And she would just come to church on Sundays, and then she'd say afterwards, yeah, there's this massive angel standing by the gate there. And then there's this massive angel there, and then all where the kids are, there's just angels, and she would just describe the spiritual atmosphere. And then sometimes you just get a fright, you know. God can do that. Eyes can be opened. I don't know if you want to pray for that gift. You may if you want to, but No one is excited about going to the deliverance ministry, but God calls people into that as well. It's a gift. It's needed. These people will walk into this place and they'll start praying and chasing stuff away. Okay, it's a gift. And you know it. Some of you, God sometimes trains us. Sometimes you walk into a house and you feel heavy. You don't know why. And you can't help but wondering, what's going on in this place? Or what happened here? Or you're moving into a house and you're like, wat did hierdie mense aangevang? Because it's just heavy and you need to phone your friends and pray for the house and anoint the doors. And afterwards you're like, oh, I can breathe. It's discerning of spirits. All right? Who's felt like that before? Some people. Yes. Sometimes you must just take a shower. That's the only problem. It's the only thing. Then we get the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom is something like Christ saying to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. You want to be one solid man. You want to do amazing things. And everyone hears it, and then Peter denies Christ. And everyone thinks, Jesus, you got that one wrong. But he didn't get it wrong, because it happened. It comes about affirming what's going to happen in someone's life and speaking it in, and then it unfolds. And God helps us with that. And especially sometimes with people you don't know. Sometimes it's the best. I move in this the best when I'm praying for people at other churches. I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going, God's going to do this. I feel this. Because God uses it to help people put a vision in their hearts and send them. Right? The word of wisdom. Where the word of knowledge got a lot to do about your past, this has got more to do about where you are heading. And so, listen to your friends, because sometimes, and we might laugh at it, but God helps us. He gives us, everything is from God. And sometimes your friend will tell you, that person is bad news for you. It can be as simple as that. That person, you're going to get your heart broken here. But you're really worried. And then it happens. It was a word of wisdom. Keep away. Just wait. Give it another few months. Give it a year. See if this is for real. Right? It's when the gift of the word of wisdom is working. Can it be abused? For sure. People can get up to all kinds of rubbish with this. And so if you are not protected, if you're not in a family, if you don't grow your own spiritual muscle, you'll be taken for a fool. If you give me 2,000 rand, right, then your lost lover will come back. And people do it. People are crazy. People, okay? So when someone tells you something like that, what you do is you just wait a second, just want to tie my shoelace, then you take off your shoe and you swing. Because that is nonsense, okay? Because the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. So if someone especially comes with a very strong leading for you, it's very good you go to your small group and say, guys, please pray with me. I wrote this down. I'm not sure. It sounds very radical. Maybe it's God, because it's way out. And maybe God. Let them pray for you. They're not emotional about it. God will show them very quickly. And then trust them. Amen? Make sense? Good. And the last three is called the power gifts, as they're grouping. Gifts of healing. Once again, it's plural. Sorry, there's my mistake. I don't know why it works this way, but it is true. For some people, they pray for people with Parkinson's and they get healed. Nothing else. I don't know why. I've asked God, but it's not my job to understand. So what they do is they find people with Parkinson's and they pray. These people that pray in organs gets formed. But when you have grip, nothing works. I don't know how it works. All we know is God says, pray for the sick. He says, if you are sick, come. Let the elders pray for you, your small group. Let they anoint you with oil. Let they put their hands on you and pray for you. then we give God the opportunity to do amazing things. Gifts of healings. I've experienced it. Some of you guys, who's been healed before? Someone here? Okay. Some of you have experienced it. Very hard to pray for someone that's badly injured because you always feel bad when nothing happens. But it's part of dying, all right? We just pray. We just pray as if it's going to get healed now. We pray flat out. And sometimes when someone goes home and they just get into bed, they're healed. I don't know why it works like that, but it's true. Someone will pray for you and then maybe one day later you're just like 100%. We are asked to pray. The Holy Spirit will do the healing. We do the praying. Amen? So, in the gift of faith, which is kind of, everything here has got to do with faith, so it's different, but if I can quote the scripture, it'll be something like this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Alright? Or, if you say to this mountain, move, you'll move. So there's a gift of faith. So sometimes it's got to do with something just radical. Like believers in a desert praying and then there's a cloud. Just protecting them from death. Something like that. Or some people just have faith for everything. Everyone is backing down. They're standing ready for battle. They just know God's going to come through. It's a gift. We should pray for it. We should seek after it. Some people would say with a gift, let's leave that there. That's gift of faith. Working of miracles, also another weird one, because I'm surely healing is a miracle, right? But it's got its own category. And so people, the best one they have for this is, it could be something like a limb growing back. Like there's no arm and then gua. It's not like something got healed. It's something got grown, all right? Or something like Jesus taking a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread and then the food just don't stop. Alright? That would be the working of miracles. And these things are around. And unfortunately, the ones that's most televised are often the ones you should not get engaged. It's just often like that. There's people all over the world that does amazing things. They take no glory. They'll never put their face on a TV screen. Ever. Just for the sheer fear that they will take glory for themselves. Because it's not about us. It's about God. Right? And those are your 9 gifts. Does that make sense? Now, just to make sure that you understand how this works, this is not how you are made. It's got nothing to do with what you desire that evening. It's about what is needed for the common good. And if you are available, God maybe wants to use you. Who is it doing this? It's the Spirit doing it through you. You could say, in a way, the Romans 12 gift, the gifts of the Father, it's you. He made you like that. It's still His glory because He made you, but it's you who He made a leader. It's you who are being merciful. All the glory to Him, He made you like that, but it's you. This is Him doing it through you. So, very important, when something has happened, get out of the way so God can get the glory. Make sure you're not there when people look around to see who did this amazing thing. Everything belongs to God. Amen? I'm finishing up. And you guys can stand with me.